chapter 2 and verse 4. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. Habakkuk is one of the Old Testament minor prophets, and it comes just after Nahum, and it comes just before Zephaniah. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. Let's read this verse together. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Now turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. Let's read this verse together. Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. All together. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Then turn, if you would, to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11. Let's read this verse together. All together. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Then turn, if you would, to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38. Let's read this verse together. All together. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. All right, let's pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much. Thank you, Father, for this phrase that we're going to look at tonight. I pray, Father, that we would not only hear what you have to say, but we would be doers of it. Our lives would be radically changed because we're going to live a life that's pleasing to you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, aren't you glad I didn't say, put your finger here, put your finger there, put your finger there, and put your finger there. You know, when a preacher does that, I don't put my finger anywhere. I just follow along, you know, and when he calls out another verse, then I go to that one as well. But I ain't got that many fingers sometimes. But anyways, notice what it says here in these verses. We read a statement, the just shall live by faith three times. And then the fourth time, it has a little variation. Now, if God says something one time in his word, you and I ought to believe it without question. But when God repeats, the just shall live by faith four times, it should really garner our attention, and we must put additional focus on that phrase. Now, since repetition is the key to learning, then we need to understand to lay hold of the phrase, the just shall live by faith. Notice, if you will, the promise of the phrase. The promise of the phrase. The just shall live by faith. You may be thinking, that's not a promise. That's a command. Well, I happen to believe that life is a promise, and we are given life when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. When he mentions the just, it's talking about believers. Those who have new life in Christ, those who have experienced a new birth, who are made new creatures, and to whom all things have become new. Justification is one of the greatest doctrines in all the Word of God. It is the gracious act of God declaring righteous the sinner who believes on Jesus Christ. No believer is more just than any other believer, for we are all robed in the righteousness of Christ. Once God has declared the believing sinner in Christ just, the sin question for them is settled once forever. Now, justification is more than being forgiven or pardoned. For justification removes the guilt of sin, and it gives us a right standing with God. This means that God forgets our sins, past, present, and future. And he forgets we were ever sinners to begin with. Justification results in new life, and that new life is to be lived by faith. Now, if I were to say, I as a pastor of Faith Baptist Church am to live by faith, you would all be in agreement. You'd say, amen, that's right, preacher. If I would say that those missionaries that we support, those 20-some missionaries, and say, you know what, they are to live by faith, you would be in total agreement with that statement. And if I mention the evangelists, that come by every now and then and fill this pulpit on occasion and said they were to live by faith, we would all give a hearty amen to that statement. Now, pastors, missionaries, and evangelists, they are to live by faith. But that is not what God said. He said the just shall live by faith. That means everybody, one and all who have been saved, one whose name is written in the Lamb's book of life, who is made fit for glory and dwelt by the Spirit of God and are part of the family of God. All those who went from an ain't to a saint, from being a sinner condemned to being accepted by God because we are in Christ, are to live by faith. So we see the promise, the just shall live by faith. Number two, I want us to see the plan in the phrase, the just shall live by faith. Now, justification means my past is gone and I was given a new beginning. Now, while the devil will want to bring up your guilt of past transgressions, all you need to do is just tell him that God has forgotten them. Jesus has cleansed them by his blood, and you have been purchased and pardoned, and Christ's righteousness is now yours, and it will forever be. While he may charge us with sin, remind him that it is God that justifieth. So often, he makes us feel unworthy to pray, unworthy to serve the Lord. I don't know how many times I've come in on a Sunday morning and I have felt so unworthy to get behind the pulpit and preach his word. You know, he makes us feel unworthy to be called a believer. And while we realize this to be true in and of ourselves, in Christ we are made worthy. So we shouldn't be discouraged. We shouldn't be disheartened over our past, and we need to take full advantage of the new life we have in Christ. The just shall what? Live, and that's the plan of the promise. The Bible says that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Jesus states this in John 10:10. I am come that they, speaking of the just, might have life and life more abundantly. Now we read these verses, and it's rather easy to see that life is the plan of God. Is it not? Now it's amazing, however, how many of us simply exist. Simply go through the motions of life. Too often, our tongue prays, but our heart's not in it. Our service for the Lord is out of duty. We'll lift up our voices and sing, but we have no joy. And we go to church out of habit, and we can't wait for the closing prayer. We read the Bible, but it doesn't read us. We hear sermons, and they have no impact upon us. The Lord's Supper is nothing more than something that we do on a monthly basis, and it's not a time for self-examination where we get right with God and think of what it cost Christ to save us. The sacred has become routine, and we practice a mere religion. But as just, we are to have a living relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus not only gave his life for us, but he has given us eternal, everlasting, and abundant life. And he has done so now. If I were to ask you as a believer, as one who is just, and said, does the Bible teach that you have everlasting life? What would you say? You say, yes, of course it does, preacher. And if I ask you, does the scripture say that you have eternal life the moment you receive Christ as your Savior? You would say, man, it certainly does. And I'm in possession of it. Now, if I went on to ask you, does the Bible teach that you are to have abundant life? Would you not reply, it most certainly does? So based on what thus saith the Lord, we're on solid ground doctrinally to say that we have everlasting life, correct? It would be accurate to say that the Word of God says that we have as our present possession eternal life. Is that not so? Amen. So we have everlasting life, and then we have eternal life. Well, what about abundant life? So the day we believed on Jesus, God gave us everlasting life, and it started that very moment and will last forever. At the same time, God gave you eternal life. You say, isn't everlasting life and eternal life the same thing? No. Everlasting life started the moment you were saved, and it will never end. Eternal life never had a beginning and will never end. Eternal life is God in you, the hope of glory. We are doing good so far, are we not? We have everlasting life as being justified. We have eternal life, for that is what we possess, and that's what the Scriptures declare. Now, the same Bible says we are to have abundant life. Does it not? So if I asked you, do you have abundant life this very moment, what would be your answer? Would you say, are you kidding? Do you know who I'm married to? Do you realize, preacher, that your messages don't make me feel all warm and fuzzy and good about myself? Think about those who I have to go to church with. Do you know the problems I have to deal with? And then take a look at the world around us and the world we have to live in. Evil men are waxing worse and worse. Our government is corrupt. The debt crisis is ballooning. Inflation is running rampant. Crime is out of control. There's talk of World War III, and it seems like everything is in terrible shape, and you want to know if I have abundant life. Yes, I do. Do these things affect the everlasting life you say you have? Do they diminish the eternal life you presently possess? So why are you letting such things take away from you the abundant life you are to have? You believe you have everlasting, eternal life, but not abundant life. Yet all three of those things belong to the just. This is a scriptural fact. But we are quick to dismiss the abundant life because of the circumstances we currently find ourselves in. You say, well, I'm miserable. I know, I get to look at you. I can't get along with my wife. Now, is that your problem or everybody else's? My car broke down. My sewer backed up. Thanks for that. Even my dog don't like me. Well, the Bible says you are to have joy, and joy unspeakable, does it not? Are you not to rejoice in the Lord always? Paul and Silas could while they were sitting in a Philippian jail with their feet fast in the stocks. Habakkuk could have a great joy when he had nothing in the cupboard and nothing to eat, nothing in the field. But I'm worried. I'm unsettled. I'm fretting. Well, did not God say you should have peace that passeth all understanding? You may think, but preacher, I have so many needs. Well, how about praying? How about praying earnestly and fervently and effectually? For oftentimes we do without because we ask not. There is no reason or any circumstance that should prevent us from having abundant life now. That abundant life is ours. So since God's plan for the just is life, why don't we live instead of living under the circumstances? I have wondered, if there was someone in our service who had a heart attack and died, if when the paramedics came in and looked over the crowd, how many pulses they would have to check to see if they got the right one. You say, well, I'm alive. Well, then why not get in on the abundant life? Life is a choice. Deuteronomy 30:19 says this, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. I hope you understand that when you chose Christ, you chose everlasting life, eternal life, and you are to live abundant life. And they are your present possession. Yes, the just shall live. So in this six-word phrase, we see the just shall live by faith. We see the promise to God's plan for the just is life. Number three, notice, if you will, the power of the phrase, the just shall live by faith. Now the just, that's God's people, correct? Shall live is God's plan. Is that right? And by faith, that's God's power. In order to get saved, it wasn't the result of your doing your best, was it? When you got saved, it was by grace through what? Faith in who? Jesus Christ. Have you ever asked a fellow believer about how they're doing in their Christian life? How you doing spiritually? Well, if you have, the probable response that you got was, well, I'm doing the best what? I'm doing the best what? Now, let me ask you. If doing your best couldn't get you saved, what makes you think doing your best now is how you're supposed to live the Christian life? Can I tell you? Doing your best, you can't. Doing your best isn't going to cut it. And that is why so many live weak, anemic Christian lives. You would think that since we had enough sense to get saved by faith, that we as God's people would learn to continue to live by faith. Now the Bible says the just shall live by what? It doesn't say the just shall live by doing their best. You and I are supposed to live in the same way that we got saved, and that is by faith. Faith is based on what God has said in His Word. And Romans 10:17 tells us, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing what? By the Word of God. So when we heard the gospel message, and we exercised our faith in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, we became just, did we not? Then are we not to live by faith in other matters the Bible addresses? And when we do, it will please God, and we will be rewarded for doing so. Now, I've been pastoring for nearly 30 years now. And I have found that many who are justified operate by how they feel. And I would venture to say Brother Bergeson's been in church a little bit longer than I have, and I would venture to say he would say the same thing. You know, we live by our feelings and not by faith. Do you know why some people miss church? Because they didn't feel like going. Do you know why people are not faithful to read the Bible? Because they don't feel like doing it. Do you know why so many Christians don't pray and pray without ceasing? They don't feel like doing so. You know why some don't serve the Lord as they should? They don't feel like it. They don't feel like doing these things. Now I realize that God has made us emotional creatures. I understand that. But at some point, we must come to realize we are not to base our lives on feelings, but we are to base our lives on the unchanging Word of God rather than those fluctuating feelings that go up and down throughout the course of one day. Some will live by what they think and rely on their own human reasoning. It's as if they think they know more than God does on how they ought to live. I've heard someone tell me one time, well, I know what the Bible says, but. Now, how many think they're actually exercising faith by using such a statement? Others have told me that they have dismissed certain portions of Scripture Because it's best that they do. Listen, I don't care if you have the highest IQ on record. Your reasoning is unreasonable when it conflicts against what God has said. And you are an absolute fool to think you know better than he does. Does not Isaiah 55, 8, and 9 say, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You know, one of the things I've been praying about for a long time is that I would have the thoughts that God has. I want his ways and not my own ways. I want his will to be done in my life and not my own. Don't make the mistake of letting the scissor of feelings or reason clip the ribbon of faith. The just all have faith. You say they do. Well, sure. They couldn't be saved without it. But let me ask you, what have you done by faith since you got saved? I hope getting saved wasn't the last thing you did by faith. For we are told that we are to live by faith, walk by faith, pray the prayer of faith. And does not the Bible say whatsoever is not of faith is what? Where are those who have great faith today? Far too many have the thought that seeing is believing. But faith is not what the eyes see, but it relies on what the word reveals. How many of the just are in need of a faith lift? There is power in faith. When you read the Bible, you see it removes mountains, brings about answers to prayer. It can heal the sick. It sees the invisible. It meets our needs. It gives us hope, boldness, and gives us the wherewithal to resist the devil. So let's have faith that works. A faith that is sound. One that is obedient. One that can be seen by others. One that lays hold of the promises of God. One that is unfeigned. And one that honors and pleases the Lord. Isn't it about time that you believe God enough to be a doer of the word? Why not, like Abel, offer up a more excellent sacrifice? You say, what is that? Well, how about laying your all on the altar? Or maybe be like Enoch and decide, you know what, you're going to live a close walk with God. Or how about Noah? Maybe working on getting your family members saved and preaching the gospel message to those that are around you. Or like Abraham, obey without being concerned where you end up when doing so. Or be like Moses, forsaking what the world has to offer and live for Jesus Christ. God has a people, a program for them, and faith is the power that we are to live by. So why don't we as the just get in on it instead of trying to get him to go along with our plans? You will have trouble getting him to bless what you are doing, but you won't have any trouble of getting him to bless what he wants you to do. So we see the phrase, "The just shall live by faith." Then we see the promise of faith, the plan of faith, the power of faith, and lastly we see the purpose of faith. The purpose of faith. In Romans chapter 1, verse 17, we read, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from," what? "Faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." When you got saved, you became just. And now that you are saved, you are to go from faith to faith. I'm talking about you. As an individual, having a living faith. How many of you know we have a soul winning program here, and we go door to door on Saturdays sharing the gospel? I mean, that is something I announce on a continuous basis. Now, I'm not talking about the church's soul winning program tonight. I'm talking about you. When was the last time you witness to anybody? When was the last time you gave the gospel in tract form or spoken and witnessed to somebody about their need of Jesus? I'm talking about you. I'm not talking about the church's program now. How many know we have a missions program? All right. We support over 20 missionaries, our mission projects. Now, I'm not talking about what the church does as a whole and what we give to missions. I'm talking about what do? You as an individual, what have you given to this worthwhile cause? You know, we have a Sunday school and a Wednesday night service. And I take prayer requests from you folks. And I pray over them. I pray every day. I do know something about the sweet hour of prayer. But I'm not talking about my prayer life. I'm talking about yours. Some of us give my wife prayer requests, and they're already on the prayer list. Now, how many think these people are really concerned about what they're asking to be put on the prayer list when it's already on there and they're not praying about it? I'm talking about your prayer life. How much time do you spend beseeching the throne of grace on behalf of your own needs or the needs of others that you know of? Have you noticed that Christianity is about the individual having a personal relationship with Christ? Have you ever realized that you can't ride the coattails of someone else? That you are accountable for your own living faith? Do you know why we don't give the tithe and offerings? You know why we don't pray as we should? Why we don't tell others of Jesus? It's because we don't have a living faith. This is the reason that God doesn't do many mighty works on our behalf. You may think a lack of faith on your part is no big deal. But when you read Matthew chapter 13, verse 58, it tells us this. And he's speaking to Jesus. Did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. It's time us just ones start having a living faith, a growing faith. What do you say that we have faith in God? For after all, we are his people. It is his plan for us. It is a source of power. And it is his purpose for his people. You know, when Jesus comes, this is one of the saddest things I ever say. There's a question, will he find faith on earth? Will he find faith? You would think certainly he would because God's people are here. But how many of us are truly living by faith? There's a big difference, isn't there? We can talk about faith all we want, but our faith must be lived out. For the just shall what? Live by faith. Everyone standing, every head bowed, every eye closed.